today. We're appreciative of that. Thank you for being here in our assembly. I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome all those who are here today, especially those who are visiting with us. We do have some visitors among us. We want you to feel welcome at the Clarksville Church of Christ. Hope you'll come out and be with us again and again. I want you to understand that we are a people of the book. That is the Bible. We believe that it is as it reports to be. The revelation of God to his creation, you and I. And in that revelation, we have the will of God for us in our lives. Paul one time in Ephesians 5:17 said, "Be not unwise, but understand the will of the Lord." Continue to worship God at this very moment by preaching and teaching his word and learning of his will and bringing honor and glory to his name by understanding that will and then making application to it in our life. So that you might know that the things that I'm saying are not just simply the teachings of this particular church or my philosophy or something from my education. I'm going to utilize a PowerPoint here to my left, and I'm going to provide you book, chapter, and verse from the Bible for everything I've got to say here today so that you, on your own accord, can look these things up, read them for yourself to see if they really are there, that I've presented them accurately in the context in which God has spoken these things to us here today, so that your faith doesn't have to stand in the wisdom of a man, but can stand in the power of God, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 5. Not only do we have those in our assembly here today that are with us, but I understand there's at least six different live feeds going on right now to six different households. I want to acknowledge your presence and thank you for following along. And maybe someone here is listening this through a link or a CD later. Thank you for your interest in spiritual things and studying the things of God's Word at this time. A church with 2020 vision is the theme the elders have given us to contemplate this year. And we have talked every month about different aspects and ideas from the Bible that we wish to get our eyes fixated on more accurately. Be able to put these things in focus properly to make those applications in our life. And we are now beginning a new month. We are in November, the last 7th, the 11th month of the year, almost the last month of the year, and this month we're going to concentrate on the idea of evangelism, and I'm going to talk about evangelism today. I'm going to talk about evangelism this morning. I'm going to continue on with a part two of this lesson, if you will, this evening, and I will talk about evangelism again through the month. Not every lesson will be about evangelism, but there are going to be a lot of lessons on that, both Sunday morning or maybe a Sunday night, and so I invite you to consider those things. On the back of your bulletin, you'll find scripture in regards to evangelism that I've recommended, that you read, you contemplate, and think about, and make application in your life. But these are things that God has spoken, and God has spoken to you, and you need to take notice of that, and not only do you read those, but you need to make application in your life. And so this morning I'm going to bring forth a lesson, and tonight, that I've entitled The Christian and Evangelism. The Bible teaches the idea of personal evangelism. We read a few moments ago, Donnie read so well, an example of personal evangelism. That is a personal trumpeting forth. That's what an evangelist is one who sounds forth some sort of message. And so when we're talking about Christians and evangelism, we're talking about the Christian and his or her responsibility to sound forth, to speak, let others know the good message of Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 1, verse 40 there, we read that one of the two that heard Jesus speak on that occasion was Andrew. He was Simon Peter's brother, yeah, the apostle. And he says he first, before he went off and did anything else with Jesus, he said he first went and got his brother, Simon Peter, and said, "Come, we have found the Messiah," which is by interpretation the Christ, that's verse 41, then verse 42, "and he brought him unto Jesus." What a wonderful phrase. "And he brought him unto Jesus." And that's the whole idea. That's the whole purpose. That is the whole goal of personal evangelism, is to bring one before to Jesus, the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2, Paul said to the young man Timothy, "What you have heard from me before witnesses, teach thou the faithful men who will be able to teach others also." And there we have the example of how The gospel is to be spread. How do we get the good news out to the world? Someone asked, and that's a great question if you were to think about that. But the answer is to 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. He said, Paul says, listen, I have preached it before many witnesses. You have heard it. Now what you've heard from me, now you tell faithful men. And what are those faithful men going to do? Then those faithful men then will teach others also. And there again is that chain of personal evangelism, the Christian and evangelism. The things we hear from the Word of God, we tell someone else. That individual now has heard the Word of God. They have the responsibility now to tell someone else as well. Paul again to the young man in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16, he said, take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing so you shall save yourself and those that hear thee. Timothy was to tell someone else. And Paul said, listen, you do the doctrine, and then you teach that doctrine, and not only been doing that, you save yourself, but you also have provided them the key to salvation for themselves. Paul again would say, I've held nothing back that was profitable to you, but I have showed you through public proclamation and from house to house. That's Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. The religion of Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is a teaching religion. And if we are going to be, as we claim here this morning, disciples of Jesus Christ, we are going to take the responsibility of taking the teachings of those that we are, he who is our teacher and our master, and we're going to teach others, making disciples of them as well. Go teach all nations, our Lord would say in Mark 16 and 15, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And there's our marching orders today. The Christian and evangelism. We are to teach and to preach. Well, what I'd like to do, as I've hurriedly just introduced our idea here this morning, is I would like to look at the word evangelism. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to utilize evangelism as a little acronym. That is, each one of the letters is going to serve as a letter of a point that we're going to talk about in each class or each lesson, both this morning and this evening. And maybe that'll help you as you think about the word evangelism. What is going to take for you to see the idea more, with 2020 vision and make application to your life? Let me introduce both lessons this way. I want you to appreciate this, that if we're going to do this, we're going to have to prepare to do the work of a personal evangelist. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, we're getting ready to study the book of Ezra here, probably in the next 3 or 4 weeks beginning. And I want you to hear what Ezra had to do. It says in Ezra 7 verse 10, for Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, to do it and to teach it as statutes and judgments unto Israel. Did you hear that? First of all, I want you to understand that we are going to have to prepare our heart. If you are going to do what God would have you to do in regard to personal evangelism, you're going to have to make up your mind, I'm going to do it, and then you're going to have to prepare to do it. Any journey you're going to take, you're going to have to make preparation to take that journey, and so it is with personal evangelism. In this case, you're going to have to seek the word of the Lord. You're going to need to wish in your own heart to do the things the Lord has told you, and then you tell someone else what the Lord has said. Prepare yourself. Paul would say in Romans 2:21, thou that teaches another, do you not teach your own self? I mean, we cannot be effective personal evangelizers unless we seek the law of the Lord ourselves, make application to it in our life, and then once I've done that, I then can tell someone else. In 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul said, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. I love that Mark had that song, the world's Bible, before our lesson here this morning. That's the idea of 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 2. People read you. People see your sincerity and your integrity and the facts that you have been taught of the Lord. You're making application to your life, and now you are teaching them what it is that the Lord has taught you and what the Lord has brought to you in your life, and then you being filled up with that can't help but slosh that off on everybody else. I can remember one time going up to New London, Ohio in the summer, and one of the things we did, my old aunt, she had a cistern out there, and she'd want us to go out and get water, and we'd get them in buckets, and we'd go out and pour that, get that water out of the buckets, and I come up to me, and he sloshed that water all over me. Why? Because those buckets were just full, and that's the way it is with you and I. When you and I are just kind of filled up with the Word of God, you can't help but kind of slosh it off on somebody else as you come in contact with them. Heard the Word of God. I make application in my life. I am prepared in my mind that I want to not only make application to me, but I also want to tell you. And finally, I want you to understand what the wise man would say in Proverbs 11, verse 30. He that winneth souls is wise. We wish to be wise in the sight of God. We're going to make application to what we're going to talk about here this morning, and we're going to seek to save the lost. How and what? By personal evangelism, by making application in our own life the things God has taught us, and then you and I teaching someone else. Well, let's get into our lesson here this morning. So, as we think about that idea here today, what is it going to take for me? What are some of the characteristics I need to build up in my life to be able to do personal evangelism? Well, let's start with the letter E. I think that's how evangelism starts with. And I want you to understand it's going to take some endurance. Look, let's be honest with it first. This is not an easy journey we're going to take. It takes a little bit of endurance to be a personal evangelizer of the Lord. You've got to understand this, that not everybody you try to teach will listen. I got to tell you, it's a little discouraging sometimes when you're all filled up to the rim with the Word of God, and then you slosh it off on somebody else, and they just say, hey, I just got all wet. They're not interested in the Word. And sometimes we can kind of become discouraged by that. But I want you to understand that you've got to have some endurance. This is going to be a long journey. Every application and every instance is not going to work out like you wish for it to. It's not always going to work out like you think it ought to. You shake your head. Why don't they believe? Why won't they obey? You are going to have to simply endure. You're going to have some endurance. Do you remember the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8? Many times that is called the parable of the soils, which I think is probably a better way to say that, because he talks about four soils. He said the word of God in Luke 8 and verse 11 is that seed. You spread that seed. He said some of it's going to fall on the wayside, some on thorny ground, some on rocky ground, and some on good and honest hearts. And how many ultimately of those soils really produce fruit? It was just one. One out of four. In that example, and that doesn't mean that you're going to have to talk to four people and one of them is going to obey the gospel. What it says is that not everybody is going to believe. Not everybody's going to remain faithful. Not everybody is going to be receptive to the Word of God. What's your responsibility? Endure. You keep on keeping on. You keep on doing what you are supposed to do in the selling field where I'm intimately aware in regards to what goes on, in regards to my success and the success or failure of other people. 80% of all sales are made after the fifth call. Five times. You're going to have to follow up with a customer to be able to close a sale. The Los Angeles Executive Club said that 48% of salespeople quit after the first call. 25% quit after the second call. No wonder the rule of thumb that I have taught my folks, and listen, I got to tell you, about one out of five salespeople we have gives us 80% of the business, because there's only one out of five that will keep on keeping on until they close the sale. You have got to endure. Not everybody's going to buy. Not everyone's going to see it your way. You just have to be ready. Peter said, but sanctify the Lord in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man who asks the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. You're going to have some endurance, but also you're going to have to understand the value of a soul. Why am I so interested in preaching the word to somebody else? Because of the value of their soul. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 1, for we know that our earthly house, that is, our tabernacle, that is, our fleshly body, if it is dissolved, if it perishes, if it dies, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We're talking about eternity. I'm not talking about a nice life for the next 10 years. I'm not talking about a comfortable retirement down in Bermuda. I'm talking about eternity. And you've got to understand the value of what it is you have to share. You're talking about somebody's soul. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Is your 401k going to be enough for that? I mean, your power, your prestige, can you leave the Lord in your last will and testament and now buy your way into heaven? It will not. If you were able to gain the whole world, the Lord says that is not valuable enough to buy your way into heaven. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his own soul? Jesus understood the value of the soul. You might think that Jesus, every time he preached, was before 5, 10, 15,000 people. I mean, he'd be like one of these Joe Biden or Donald Trump rallies, right, where people are just all around and they're just throwing you. Saying Jesus would be that way all the time. But that's not what we find Jesus. Now, he preached publicly, don't get me wrong. But we talked about in John chapter 4 where he spent the better part of all day talking to one woman, one adulterous woman, evidently. He spent all day talking to Zacchaeus, the tax collector in Luke chapter 19 and verse 5. Nicodemus, John chapter 3, spent a better part of an evening. One person. Jesus saw the value of one soul. And you and I must as well, if we're going to personal evangelize. And then we're going to have to be able. You know, responsibility is determined many times by our ability. Paul said, the things you've heard of me among many witnesses, teach them to faithful men who then will be able to teach others also. We all have different abilities when it comes to, there's different things that you and I may be able to do or not do in regards to that. Someone said, Brian, I couldn't preach like Mark. I couldn't bring a lesson like Alan did last Sunday night publicly. Well, that's okay. You don't have to. You're not out of the trick. I want you to appreciate that. There are still things that you are able to do in personal evangelism. In Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through FF, that means the verses following after verse 14. Okay, it just means you just keep on reading until the point is made. And so I want you to appreciate there we have a parable of what we call the talents. We had a 5-talent man, a 2-talent man, and a 1-talent man. And I want you to appreciate, they're just summarizing that the 5-talent man went out and he kind of exchanged and bought and sold and he gained 5 talents more. The 2-talent man bought, sold, and this, that, and the other, got 2 talents more. But the 1-talent man, he didn't do anything with what he had. He said, look, I was just afraid. I dug in the ground and you're a hard man. Here's what you gave me. And you remember how the Lord says that the householder dealt with him. Well, you wicked and you lazy servant. I gave you a talent. You could have at least put it in a savings account. You could have went and got it in a passbook savings account down there at Midtown Bank. And you could have got me 0.5%, but you didn't do nothing with it. And I want you to understand, you do not have to be a gospel preacher to deal in personal evangelism. You do what it is you're able to do. Paul said, I myself also am persuaded of you, brethren, that you are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. All of us can admonish one another. We all can encourage one another. We can all invite people here. We can pass out a bulletin. We can let our light shine. We are all able to do personal evangelism. We need to make sure we are meeting our potential and doing our responsibilities. But also, I want you to understand this. We need to do it now. I love Ecclesiastes chapter 11. There is so much in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, beginning of verse 4. Listen to this. He that observes the wind shall not sow. He that regards the clouds will not reap. But as you do not understand how God puts a spirit with bones to grow in a mother's womb, even so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. In the morning sow thy seed, in the evening do not withhold your hand. For you do not prosper, and you do not know whether this or that, or whether both shall be good. Someone said, well, I would do it, but I just don't think it's a good time. Well, I would do it, but, you know, I think I might wait till next year. Someone said, well, I might do it, but I don't think that person would be receptive. Well, you know, I don't think she would be receptive. And what I want you to appreciate is God says, listen, you don't know. So you do what you can do right where you're at right now. Right now. You do it now. If we're not, we'll be like Jesus talked about the whole class of people. He said, for they say and do not. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Listen to Jesus' attitude. Say not ye that there are 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already for harvest. He that reapeth receives wages, and he that gathers fruit unto the eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Jesus said, look on the harvest is there. You don't need to wait 4 months. He wasn't talking about physical things. He was talking about the spiritual harvest that was there. So you don't need to wait. You go right now. The harvest, he said, is truly plenteous. It's the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his harvest. When should I start doing this, Brian? Right now. Right now. I know folks are not probably too eager to come and be at the building. I get that. I mean, we have members here that haven't been for several weeks or several months because of the pandemic. And so it's a little far-fetched to believe there's going to be just a whole horde of people out there that's going to want to come in here and squeeze up here real tight with all of us and learn about the Word of God right now in our assembly. But there's 6 folks back there right now that are live streaming this. I mean, why can't that be 16? Why can't that be 60? Why can't you invite somebody to watch our YouTube channel and watch our worship, participate with us in our worship, and hear the Word of God proclaimed? When do you do that? You do it right now. You do it right now. And finally, this morning, we're going to utilize the gospel. You know, the gospel is what must be taught. It's not good associations. It's not accommodations. I mean, you think about how men wish to try to get people to come be a part of their congregation. They build these massive buildings, and then they got a Starbucks back, and then they got a baby care, and they got a basketball league. And look, I mean, I like, well, no, I don't like Starbucks. I had cheaper valuing of Starbucks. I like that. I like coffee. I like playing basketball, or at least I used to. I mean, I like all those things. But what we are going to reach people with and what our tool is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to those who will believe it. That's how you save people. It's simply by the gospel. Moreover, brethren, he says, I have said it to you, or I've laid it to you, the gospel which I preach unto you, which you have received, wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved. You are saved by the gospel. How do they get saved by the gospel? The word of God is taught to them. They hear it, they believe it, and they obey it. Preach the gospel. It was Paul and his companions in Acts chapter 14, when they were being literally run out of cities on death threats. In Acts chapter 14 and verse 7, it says, and there they preached the gospel. Oh, just, I love that phrase. That's a sermon. That's a sermon for somebody. And there they preached the gospel. That's what we're going to do if we're going to be personal evangelist. Now, I didn't get all the way through evangelism, you notice, right? There are a few more letters, so you're going to have to come back tonight or watch it on YouTube. But here's what I want to get us through here this morning. As you think about the idea of the Christian and evangelism, you must make preparation. You got to be ready to endure. You need to understand the value of the soul. You're going to have to do the things as you are able. You need to do it now. And we're going to share the gospel. And if we've learned that here this morning, we're well on our way to getting our eyes more focused on what it means to be a personal evangelist. Thank you for your attention here this morning. We're about to stand to sing a song of encouragement, to encourage you here this morning to be obedient to this gospel. Jesus Christ came into the world, the Lamb of God, John said, and John, Lamb of God, take away the sin of the world. He died. He had to pay the price for your sin. You see, it was either you dying an eternal death away from God, or there had to be a perfect sacrifice made for you. Jesus has made it. There's the good news. You can have your debt cleared this morning because Jesus paid it. And what he told his apostles was, go teach that to everybody. He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved. And you can do that here this morning. We extend the invitation to you. Sing a song to encourage you. It's up to me anyway. Come forward now. We stand and sing.
Would you be free from your burden?